Hi, this is Russ. We're ready for Session 21 in the Internet course, Freedom Encounters. We're going to be dealing with, in this session, crisis, crime, and violence. At the top of page 54 in your notes, I have this key sentence acknowledgement. At times, as you go deep into ministry to SRA MPT victims, multiples, you most likely will encounter a crisis, crime issues, and even violence. You'll have to balance suffering for Christ, especially if the issues of violence or whatever is against you, with the need for law enforcement and involvement. And what I'm going to say right now is, remember the little boy that cried wolf. And there's an issue here that when there's a lot of things that come up, crisis and crime and all the different things, violence and stuff, you know, if you're constantly contacting law enforcement and reaching out to them, but every time they respond, there's nothing there. They can never pin anything down. They could simply just never, make an arrest or whatever else. They will get tired of you. And you may get tired of the victim if they're constantly taking you places or telling you things and nothing really shows up. So, between that issue and the issues of really being attacked or having threats and whatever else, as a believer in Christ, because this is a spiritual battle overall, there's going to be times when you're going to have to deal with, you know, whether you've gotten hit or something's happened to your property and what you're going to do with those who've done this to you also. So if you become a victim, will you bravely take some things in as part of the sufferings of Christ? Or will you call law enforcement every single time? Will you kick out the victim if another personality does something right away? Because what I'm going to tell you right now is that some personalities may perceive your level of patience. And if they can cause disruptions or break something in your office or do something to stop the entire process, then literally they have kept you now from reaching out to the rest of the inside personalities and helping this victim come to salvation, deliverance, and freedom in Christ. And obviously, if there's a demonic presence, please realize that the demonic presence in and through personalities, many times they are the instigators of any kind of violence or attack. That's why we've said in the beginning of these sessions, as you do that search and you're praying through, part of the first part of a freedom encounter deals with discerning and dealing with the demonic all through the system, ruling spirit, any other demons. And you could even pray, Lord, if there is any demonic presence in any personality that is planning harm, that is plotting to use a personality, you know, to go after that demon, for God to reveal that and go after that demonic presence, and maybe even go after programming in that sense. Because I'm going to tell you a few stories here. For example, I told before, I don't know if it's in these sessions, the story of the federal officer's wife being in their home. Maggie, that's not her real name. She was basically harmless. And nothing, you know, you just would see her and feel so pitiful. You'd want to hug her and help her, and she just seemed so hurt. And but the moment she would switch in an instant to Iris or one of the other personalities that were called loyal, they would be extremely ferocious. They would physically attack. That's the one that tried to stab me and had a plot along with the Coven, the Circle of Dominion, to stab me in the solar plexus area with this long needle they had. And so there was a setup at that point. So we had one personality attempt that. Of course, it was foiled, and that's where, again, God's protection came in at that point. But there was also a real serious threat. So we're going to talk about these sessions or these issues in this session as we go through. Maybe you've already experienced some issues like this, violence, whatever else. Most of what I have seen over the years have been violence on the victim themselves, threats and things and punishment. Well, let's take a look at all of it. Page 54 in your notes, beginning with point one, crisis and boundaries. Now, in your office, obviously, you're going to have boundaries and so forth, too. In all the area of ministry, you're going to learn that you have to have boundaries. We've seen multiples hurt, injured, you know, over the years. But in over 20-some years, we've never seen any multiple that we have dealt with murdered or killed. I've seen a rogue multiple that was really bad. We had 8 of his victims. I've seen him die, I believe, as a judgment of the Lord. But I've never had anybody who came to me and said, they're going to kill me this weekend, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. And we've been on many cases like that. We've hidden people out at ritual times. We've taken an entire team with a multiple or two multiples off to a hotel somewhere, locked into offices, you know, just simply kept hidden from the perpetrators. We've had car chases. We've had numerous, probably, we counted at one time, 9 different departments in different areas, cities, townships, including the feds, involved in a lot of these cases. So there may be events that occur in your office. Maybe, again, a handler will show up. Maybe someone will come and leave a note and threaten. Maybe somebody will see somebody come by, and they might put some kind of warning, a satanic justice symbol that deals with retaliation on your building or leaving your office. Or if it's a church ministry, we had one church where they were leaving notes in the offering plate. You know, they had a larger congregation. They didn't have any idea who was doing it, but they were leaving symbols and satanic symbols and other things in the offering plate, along with threats. And they eventually caught this particular Satanist actually doing a ritual in the sanctuary. They broke in, they were doing a ritual, and they got caught. So you may have, again, because of the nature of this kind of work, and we're dealing with Satanism, we're dealing with programmed personalities, we're dealing with the demonic, you're dealing with protectors on the inside of multiples that may simply just want to protect all the little ones or protect the physical body from harm, and so they've got to do something to get you away from them so that they can keep them safe. That's their view. And that's one of the keys in helping and dealing with protectors and so forth, is that you can join them in the protection and help them. Well, crisis and boundaries many times can begin in the office. When I was at the Mind Control Conference in Richmond, Virginia, back in the 90s, I sat down with a table of psychologists for lunch, and different ones were telling me stories of how particular multiples did certain things. Personalities came out, and in one office they had a glass coffee table, and this personality switched, and they got up and smashed it right in the office. Others have been attacked, and others have had other things done, and there's times a personality may come out in rage. So this is why we've said, you know, in all of our training that we should have, you know, a team, individuals there also. If not, maybe even somebody outside the door. One time when I had another one that came into my office, I mean, just right, and we didn't have ceilings that went all the way to the roof, you know, to the, I'm sorry, walls that did not go all the way to the ceiling. So you could clearly hear the secretary is right over the top of the, you know, she was in the next area, and the husband of this multiple that came in. Well, this is the one when I looked down to write a few notes as I was talking with her, switched, and pulled out a bayonet hidden in a leather coat and tried to, you know, just literally ram it through my head and just barely missed. Well, that was pretty, you know, and it was going to turn into an altercation, a literal physical battle when her husband opened the door. You know, this personality ran and attacked, went to attack him. He closed the door just in time, and they put the bayonet through the entire door. Law enforcement had to take that person out. Law enforcement was called. So you're going to see that as you go through things, depending on, you know, when you get down to secret information, when you get down to personalities that aren't supposed to tell, when you get to the area of handlers, you know, getting them back at times to, you know, maybe program or plot out something against you or your office or your church, there may be, you know, some kind of crisis that occurs. So it may occur. They may, you know, bring retaliation, so forth. It may occur on the phone at times when you're constantly called. Now, listen, this is very important because this can happen when we had six or seven multiples that we were dealing with at one time. You know, they're all having different crises. You know, they're coming to get me. It's ritual night. Different things are going to go on. So I have seen counselors literally just glued to their cell phones, glued to their phones, constantly talking for 1, 2, 3 hours. And I'm just going to tell you right now, it's just simply not necessary. It's just not a necessary issue to constantly be bound like this. Sometimes they just want to talk because they feel safe when they're talking to you. Sometimes they just want to let you know what's going on. And in many, if not most, of the times when we've been called out to a crisis where the coven's coming to get them, the handler's there at the door, there was nobody there. There's, out of all the years that we did a lot of surveillance and running out and going places and spending hours and hours and hundreds of miles in tracking, there's a lot of things that just never panned out. And I think a lot of it had to do with diversion, distractions, as we list here, to where the coven group and others want to distract you and get you on all kinds of other, issues and just keep you very, very preoccupied and busy. One multiple alone with numerous personalities. Think in terms of some of you get emails. I get emails from interpersonalities. Or I get phone calls where they'll leave a message. So I have, for example, in one day, I can get from the host person and five other personalities, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 20 emails from one multiple and personalities inside in one day. And then you begin to respond back to those emails, and then each one wants to write you back. It's like dealing with 10, 12, 13, 14 people, and you may end up involved sending out 50 emails in one day, all of the same multiple, and the personalities within. And again, you're going to have to see the issues of time. And so it's very important, because we dealt one time with the federal officer's wife. There was a surveillance done concerning the telephone in 21 days. The telephone was we ran surveillance on the telephone in the house, and there was crisis after crisis. The person would call us and say they're here. We would get there, and in blood written on the wall would be this ancient languages or some kind of curse stuff or symbols. Of course, we would have to help the person get bleach and wash it all off. We'd have to call law enforcement in. One time it was a major issue. We had law enforcement come in. They tested the blood. It was blood that was bought at a grocery store where you can buy in the meat department blood, and animal blood. So it wasn't human blood, and we found out in this case it was an inner personality that kept on playing these scenarios, leading us in all kinds of directions, leaving messages on our office phone lines. And when we listened to the 3 weeks' worth of surveillance tapes, we realized that it was all being done from within that apartment. And so we encountered the person, and sure enough, a new personality came up and confessed to doing this. And the bottom line was this. I asked them, why in the world, when we're trying to help you and trying to do all this, why are you doing this? And the words out of Lathy's mouth was this: to waste your time. To waste your time. Now, some people would quit right then and just quit working with the victim as a whole. And again, I say that if you do the deliverance issues in the beginning and begin to deal with interpersonalities, you may avoid some of this. But again, if they're involved with an active coven, you may have personalities that are cult loyal that will play games and see what you're doing, and they want to take you. So if you get the feeling that instead of the bullseye, the idea of the bullseye is the salvation, the deliverance, the healing, the restoration of the multiple. And if you're going in to see all that done, but you're constantly being led to the left or the right, and you're spending most of your time on all kinds of things that don't pan out, and you're not getting the healing, deliverance, and so forth, then you've got to get back and assess what's going on. You got to get back to see, because again, I'm going to tell you, as many counselors, I think, don't want to hear this. And some victims at first will throw a fit when they hear this. There are chosen ones, real cult loyal multiples that in the personalities and the ultimate core of them, they are there to serve the enemy. Not everyone wants deliverance, freedom in Christ. There will be many of these cult multiples on the field when the Black Awakening and Antichrist arises, and that's why they're here. That's why so many of them are here. So you're going to find that some of them may just be there for reconnaissance, and you're going to have to discern. Here's one of the ways I do discern, let alone the Holy Spirit telling you, God revealing it to you, or providentially God leads you to do kind of a setup, or they get set up, or they get caught in playing this game or playing a setup on you. One of the other indicators is that you're doing a constant work with them, and you're following this crisis and that crisis, and they're leading you off to this field and this place, or they're giving you information. It all sounds, you know, pertinent. You go, you know, all kinds of places, and nothing ever pans out, and it seems like they never ever change, that nothing really seems to be any different with them. You may begin to see that they are just playing, you know, a game, wasting your time. That may be part of the programming of some personalities to do this. And it's very important to catch it early. Now, we learned through this the hard way, which was good, so that we can learn better how to draw boundaries. In the beginning days, we thought every crisis had to be, you know, that we had to watch people all the time, or that we had to, you know, sit in front of houses or whatever, and spend hours, you know, 20 hours on one individual in a week. It just doesn't happen any longer. We do not spend 4 or 5 hours at a session any longer. It might be one or two at the most. So that when we set boundaries, we will work with individuals, and we want them also to show progress. We want them to show that they are also striving to seek the Lord, trust Christ, study, you know, each step of the way. As deliverance is occurring and inner healing is occurring, there should be a, again, this is not a passive thing on their part. They also need to trust Christ. Like anyone else, they also need to apply their determination to grow, to renounce Satan, and to do their part, and to fight for their freedom in Christ, and to move forward. And they're going to have other personalities that can be verified in their information, verified in as far as you being able to trust them, so that you can listen to the information they give you, and that they can tell you whether there's games being played and whether a crisis is just another thing to, you know, set up your whole office, or, you know, keep a pastor busy. Because remember what I've said about infiltration before, many multiples that are programmed with cult loyal on the inside, they want to get to the leader of a group. If you notice that they want to go through all the workers and get to the head, get to the leader, and get involved with them, and get you to give information, and have you invite them to your house, and here you have an unhealed multiple with personalities inside you don't know of. You don't know if they have you know, child abuser personalities or satanic personalities still loyal on the inside that will harm your own kids or leave demonized objects in your house. I have a boundary now. I never bring an unhealed multiple to my house. I just don't do it any longer. I've learned the hard way, and I've also learned just by the spiritual discernment that God has given me that I don't have to do that. And I've had some that would object, say, well, you know, they start talking about how, you know, they want to come over and things like that. And, you know, there's cult loyal, you know, personality society. Now, some of them just might like you and care and they want to or whatever else, but I've noticed again and again and again in parachurch ministries and in churches and so forth, where inside compromising personalities or an agenda that has been set from a coven group or the handlers on the outside to bring down leadership, to bring down individuals, to bring down a pastor, to so involve you that they completely... I have seen counselors fried. I have watched within our own teams. Listen, in the organization Shadow of the Darkness over, gosh, 20-some years now, we have had, you know, at times 50 volunteers and, you know, part-time paid staff workers and so forth. And at times we've been down to just 15 or 10. And right now we probably have about maybe a dozen volunteers that work with us. the issue here is that I've seen over the years as individuals, we've seen them through the warfare that's gone on, through the attrition, and I've seen some fall. I've seen some fall and stumble. I've watched some that would not take the advice of setting perimeters and not going out by themselves on their own. I've seen some that wanted to be very, you know, arrogant and prideful. I mean, really, in their own walk, and want to just go and do things and step in and not take leadership guidelines. And we've had to dismiss a few volunteers. We've had to see and offer help and restoration to some that have fallen tragically over the years. And we've heard about it across, you know, the nation at conferences and other places where these things occur. So the idea that you're going to get 1,000 phone calls in one, you know, you got to bring restrictions. I just simply cannot and will not take call after call after call after call after call. I will not have numerous meetings. What I will end up doing is setting the boundaries and saying, we'll meet here at such and such time, we'll do this. And in each case, you need to discern where you're at along the way. Remember the idea from the very beginning of the course, sequence, spirit-led guidance and discernment concerning the sequence of where they are. You know, you may need to deal with somebody 2 or 3 times in a week in the beginning, but you don't have anybody else on your plate at the time. You have to balance everything. Your walk with Christ, your prayer time, your own development, your own growth, your time, you know. Listen, there are times that they can have so much involvement. I've seen them have so much involvement in lives that I've seen believers not even have to say, well, I don't have time to pray. Well, then you're got. Then you know that boundaries have been crossed. You've got to have your own spiritual build-up time and prayer time and be at the post. You've got to be able to live life also to enjoy the Lord. You've got to be able to have your day off, you know, your time. You've got to be able to, you know, cut out stuff and have your family time if you're married, spend time with your children, et cetera, et cetera. So you've got to set boundaries. So if you're feeling consumed, now I'm not talking about just, again, here's where, again, you might have to balance the issue of that you're the kind of office, like maybe a secular, a psychological, you know, group or counseling center where a person comes in, they come in the office, they sign in, they go to a session for an hour, then they leave. Many times I get reported from centers like that, you know, sometimes they don't return for a month or two and things are done to them. That's why this issue is different than others. It's tough to balance all that. If you have really a clear perception that you need to work with a person and really get some demonization issues dealt with, deal with cult loyal personalities or informers or runners or whatever else, that are going to take them back to the coven. That's why as you build a larger team, you may have people that just, you know, 2 people that can take a person home and watch the house. And maybe give assignments to those who want to be helpers. To build a larger team with different ministry objectives in covering. I believe one of the best models maybe would be that you have some people that come into your offices. All they do is come for, you know, a couple hours or an hour per day and pray over you and pray over all the staff and pray over everybody and pray. You know, they're really pouring out prayer. So that on a 7 days a week, you have people praying and interceding. You might have another part of the team, volunteers that help sit in the meetings, that they're there for prayer only. They're not a counselor. You have others that are counselors and Freeman Counter workers. You might have others that we have trackers. So we also have piggybackers. We have a number of things, and we don't tell everything. We simply don't tell everything publicly. So that, again, we understand Satan's schemes, even as he gives it to handlers and covens. We don't want him to outwit us. We've learned not to tell everything and not to give all the information out. So you'll have to look at the overall issues of crisis and setting boundaries and telling a person, I can't talk to you. You know, I've talked to you 3 times this week. We cannot talk right now. Or telling them, okay, call law enforcement, that they'll have to call law enforcement and see what happens then. So that's where you're going to have to balance and work with what you feel that God has called you to do, what's necessary. You're going to have to deal with any setups also. I was reading Tom Wedge's book years ago, The Satan Hunter, and he had a section in there on Dungeons and Dragons. And the organization Bad bothered about Dungeons and Dragons. And I believe the founder of that, her son had committed suicide in the context of playing that game. On the 13th level of that game, they use the same names of demons that is found in the Satanic Bible. There's a lot of problems with so-called fantasy games, which involves dissociation, which involves lie, which involves deception, and the need for powers and all the different things can bring about demonization and the influx of impulse satanic thoughts and so forth of suicide, violence, whatever else. Anyway, here's what occurred. I called that organization and I talked to one of the ladies who I believe it was her son. It was a youth pastor at their church. That he got called, and the individual they were trying to help, there's a big crisis, they need to come down immediately to a certain area. And when he got down to that area, sure enough, a van pulled up, and this satanic group, set him up and tried to abduct him. And he literally had to fight his way out of that. And God, ultimately protected him, and they didn't take him off, but it was an entire setup. I believe that none of this work should be done as far as alone. When you have multiples or personalities say, well, I need to meet with you alone, or I need to talk to you alone, or I need you to meet me at such and such dark alley or place or whatever. Just again, be very, very discerning concerning a setup. Obviously, in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, they learned of a plot that those who were angry at him were going to kill him. And you'll read in the book of Acts where some of the disciples got together and put him in this basket and lowered him outside the wall to have him escape. So you're going to see where the threats were coming down in Acts chapter 7, and the disciples were scattered everywhere. They didn't stop doing their ministries. Philip was, again, a great example of doing ministry, but they didn't get away from the violence and the setup and so forth. God has a way of breaking in and letting you know about these kind of things. And that's why it's very, very important that you're discerning and you're praying. And if you get a spiritual check that a game's being played, you need to really, really pray it through and really pray with others and set people up. And what I mean by that is some of your volunteers to follow, the multiple and check on them. And if the multiple's calling and crying crisis, and you have... we've had Piggy, others out there watching them, and nothing was happening. Oh, they're at the door. They're coming. They're going to break in the door. They're going to get me. You got to get here right away. And we'd contact our team, and they'd say, no, we're sitting here. There's nobody at the house. There's nobody coming to get them. There's nobody bothering them. And we'd have to deal with that. And we could tell you again a number of stories about that over the years, but you'll have to balance the issue of constant crisis, phone calls, all the other stuff to consume your time and set out perimeters that you're only going to meet such and such a time that you're only going to respond. There's many times I cannot return emails or calls to everybody all the time. And you only have so much time and everything else. So balance out your whole life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Make sure He is first in your life, that your spiritual life and prayers, and you're built up and you're spiritually, that's what the armor of God's all about, that you're really attentive, and so forth. And then make sure that you have your family time or your with your spouse or whatever, and don't forget your day off, and don't forget to enjoy what the Lord has given you in life, and to have fun and to do some things so that you don't live in the critical grasp of crisis nonstop. That's just not how it has to be. So pray through that and really work things through. Point two on page 54 is crime and law enforcement. Now, it's very important that you do prayerfully ask God to give you law enforcement individuals that you can trust, that are maybe believers in Christ, and that really understand. It's important. It really is, because in our work anyway, we have dealt with, again, many different law enforcement agencies because we've set out teams. We haven't just set an office. I would say we've spent as much time or more on the field tracking, going to places, spending hours upon hours researching. What I mean by researching is not just books and so forth, going to sites, running surveillance, checking up on things, digging up bones, doing a lot of stuff. Well, one of the things is what you're told and what you see. You're going to have to deal with, you know, someone coming to you and saying, well, you know what, where I live and they're still abusing the five-year-old and they're sexually abusing her and on and on and on and on. Well, you're going to have to report that. I don't care. You got to save the child over everybody else's feelings, over threats or whatever else, whatever you've got to. And you know, by law in some states, if you don't tell about child sexual abuse or whatever else, you could be the one in trouble. Well, that's not what motivates me. What motivates me is simply that if there's a child in harm's way, we've got to do what it takes to help them. So many times you're given so much information. And here's one of our frustrations, being given information, confirmed information, and going as far as we can, and seemingly we can't do anything about it right away. That's where frustration comes in, because when you deal with law enforcement, you're going to find out that they want a smoking gun. They want evidence. They want something that they can, you know, sink their law enforcement teeth into, and rightfully so. Because many times information comes and they'll say, you know, multiple say, well, so-and-so's name is Fred. He looks like this and he works at this building and I think he meets here and the coven I think meets over there and there's bones buried in this place. And so if you get law enforcement to go out numerous times on these kind of things and then nothing pans out, they may or may not, you know, want to respond to you. We had one time from the federal officer's wife, pictures were sent to our offices. And of a half-nude woman that had blood all over her laying in a field. And she looked like she might have been dead or cut up or whatever else. Numerous pictures. So the first thing we did was made copies from the copy machine to keep in our files. Second thing we did was, you know, within seconds anyway, after copying, was to call law enforcement and let them know. And man, four or five officers showed up. The coroner showed up. Was called in. They're all looking at these pictures. They think an entire, you know, bloody murder has occurred. Finally, the one coroner that comes in notices something about the physical body, and he says, "This body's not dead because of any set of reasons. A couple of reasons why." Well, later on that afternoon, with two detectives, you know, staking out this victim's apartment, here comes this woman walking in from the grocery store. And they run up to her, of course, to ask if she's all right. She's like, yes, I'm okay, whatever. When they showed her the picture, she was embarrassed. Other personalities on the inside set up an entire scenario. Obviously, they worked with somebody because somebody had to stand up over her and take the pictures. And it was all set up in the sense of just playing a game. And let me tell you about this person. They're not healed. They're not free. They left us probably 10 years ago. And they're still out there. And they're really, as far as the inside cult loyal part of them, they're doing harm. That's why I'm going to tell you again, it's sometimes if you do not see the witness of the spirit of adoption in a person that claims that they accepted, a multiple that claims they accepted Christ, if you do not see, you should see progression, salvation in God's power, the Spirit's presence, deliverance, inner healing, personalities that want to be healed and go with Jesus and so forth and on and on and on. One of the other indicators is that they are willing to give up names and information and so forth and turn on evil. If you find a coven member or a multiple that's never turning against the evil but almost seems to distract you and protect, the issue is, you know, are they still so loyal to the coven that they're never going to, you know, turn on them? So that's one of my indicators. Are they willing to turn on the coven? Are they willing to turn against the evil and fight against it also. That's part of the development of their freedom in Christ and their growing. So a lot of things that you're told, a lot of things that you see, you're going to have to deal with and balance out whether you're going to call law enforcement, whether you're going to, you know, we did a lot of what we call data banking information, again, confiscating materials, putting the pieces of the puzzle together, sending out individuals to study an area, to take a look at things, to follow. We always called it verification. We wanted to verify information. We wanted to verify whether something was true or not. And if we saw, without the multiple knowing, if we were going out and we found out that five things they told us, none of it was true, we didn't say anything right away. We allowed things to go on for a little while to watch how far they really wanted. So we were kind of, using countermeasures. And then eventually laying it all on them and saying, here's what we found out. Here's what you're doing. In every single case, nothing pans out. And in when we did this with the federal officer's wife years ago, and laid down the issue of they really need to not only really demonstrate that they're turning to Christ, but that they need to demonstrate that they're coming against the coven, whatever. And they were literally protecting the coven. So. You'll have to deal with, that's where the boundary issues come in, and you have to lay things down. And when things were laid down and we wouldn't play the game, guess what? They left. They went back to the Cleveland area, and there they're still operating. And for the last 9 or 10 years, that person's still in my prayers, both in asking God to protect anybody else they're messing with. And if you notice that a cult model has gone from one place to another place to another place to another place, and in each case, they're not healed, delivered, and so forth. In each case, they've created havoc or whatever else, and no change is occurring, then you're going to have to deal with that issue too. Well, you're going to have to deal with the issues of abuse, whether they're physically getting abused by personalities inside, whether the coven is literally abusing them. Now, is it the coven abusing them, or is it a personality? Are they going out? Like one time, I'm a pastor of a large church at the time, very, very publicly known church. I have multiple come in on a Sunday morning, and they have my last name carved into their forearm backwards. It was all bloody, and you can look at it and read my last name carved into their skin backwards. Well, one of the other personalities did that, and they did do it for... just simply effect and to create an issue. And obviously that could create an issue, on a Sunday morning when I'm getting ready to do everything else, because I never would allow this kind of ministry to become the focal point of a local church and or especially a worship service. They have no trouble wanting to create havoc sometimes, call loyal ones anyway, and demonize personalities. So you got to look at the issues of abuse, whether they're abusing you, whether they hit you or do things or whatever else, and you've got to set up perimeter. You've got to set up, where you have two or three people in a room. I told you about the case in Meadville, Pennsylvania, where a law enforcement individual brought me up there along with one of our guys, and they allowed the session to be videotaped. And this is where I got, literally clocked in the face by a 6'6" woman who switched to a male personality and immediately struck me twice before we put them, back down on the couch physically and stopped them. So you're going to have to deal with that issue. Some personalities inside may try to attack you. You may have to, end an entire process with a multiple unless you get them to stop, or you have people there that are going to be there. What I'm saying in this too is that when we do deliverance, sometimes demons would like to jump from one personality to another personality and use that personality to bring physical harm against somebody in the room. That's why, again, dealing with the demonic stuff. And sometimes you can just simply see it and sense it. When all of a sudden the personality is up and raging, immediately pray against the demonic presence. And sometimes you'll watch where that the ferocity and the intense fury that they're going to come at you with all of a sudden ends instantly. I watched in one case when they switched this personality and they started to come towards me to attack, and I prayed against the demonic presence, and literally they dropped to their knees, and they were, the demon was trying to hang on, and they were literally with their hands like claws, inch by inch, coming towards me on the ground, crawling, like they were literally fighting through, like they were. It was really kind of interesting to see, because it was a spiritual battle, and they were inching their way to me, and I commanded again, in the name of Jesus, you will not use that physical part of the body, because demons, they have to use personality in some way. And so if they have a programmed personality, because programmed personality can't fight back on their own. They're just simply programmed to do one thing, or they're literally their wills are just surrendered to the demonic use. But again, hitting the demonic up and binding them, and sometimes commanding them to confess what they're doing and so forth, and commanding them out, and then dealing with that personality they're using for healing and so forth, then that can stop those kind of attacks. And so, you know, there's times you might need to deal with that. You have cutters, individuals that will cut themselves. Now, the cutting can be a number of things. One, it could be that an inside personality is cutting the physical body as punishment, letting the rest of the, you know, most of the time in real chosen ones, they don't harm the physical body. They won't make marks. But in some cases where punishment occurs, like that, cuts and so forth, a personality inside is punishing the other part of the body or the other personality because they may be told too much or whatever. Another issue is that just like in normal singleton people, there are young people and others that cut themselves because of the immense pain they have inside, that the cutting gives an intensity of focus, and it literally relieves them of the pain of what they're going through or the memories or whatever, and has them focus. It's almost like the bloodletting or the cutting release. Some of them say it releases the pain. What it does is when they're literally cutting, of course, that's painful, and the blood's there. So it's like the entire emotions and mind is now focused on something different than the painful issues they were. That's one area. And the third one is bloodletting for the demonic. The cutting, like in Mark 5, that was probably more bloodletting, as blood is the body, the person would cut themselves, you know, inspired by the demons, of course, to raise more power. Demons love blood. So you'll have to deal with it on a deliverance side. You'll have to deal with it on whether it's a punisher on the inside. You'll even have to deal with the outside if they are, you know, punishing the physical person, hurting them in some way. You might hear stories of they get shocked with one of those stun guns. Many different things can occur. And you'll have to weigh things out with law enforcement helping them. Numerous times we've ended up taking multiples as we found them and so forth, and taking them to hospitals and getting treatment, where we retrieve them back from coven groups or whatever, or they called and we found them out at an open field and we had to call in, emergency and take them to the hospital. Well, there's also the issue of threats, page 54, under 2.C, to where you get threats or personalities threaten you, and you're going to have to deal with those issues too. And what you're letting law enforcement know. We let law enforcement know numerous times, even written threats of they're going to kill us and so forth, where law enforcement was willing to give us some kind of legal means or pass of having weapons. And at times, we did have security people that had weapons. Some of our staff had legally had the right to carry weapons. And you'll have to balance that issue out with being a believer and what you do. We found the number one armament on our side is Psalm 91 and praying that God protect us and praying against, you know, and that's part of our prayer mapping. We pray for constant protection. We're praying against, and you'll find this in a lot of the Psalms in the 80s, specifically Psalm 83, Psalm 86, others that deal with the writer crying out to God, save me from bloodthirsty men, the plots of the wicked, they're setting me up. On and on and on, you're going to find in the Psalms the kind of physical attacks that have a that depict spiritual attacks too, because in the Old Testament Psalms, they're dealing with demonized nations, demonized tribes, that also then physically. And let me tell you this, a Polero in Palo Mayombe, for example, their mentality is that if their magic doesn't harm you, then they believe that if they come out and harm you, that that's just part of their magic, that they're fulfilling part of the magic to harm you. So when you're dealing with groups like that, or the Abakwa, or other really deviant kind of groups, so yeah, they may want to harm you, and they may threaten you. So you'll have to take threats down and let law enforcement know and record them on recorders and keep, you know, evidence of those kind of threats and so forth, and weigh them out and have staff, you know, and others pray with you about it and decide what you need to do. Under D, cops who know. And now what I mean by this is cops who understand this, the issue of multiples and threats, and they may understand covens in the areas. They're knowledgeable and they believe you and they want to help and they might want to give you, you know, we even have law enforcement individuals that are part of Shedder now that work in other areas. But they are more than willing to give information and to help us and give us insight of what we need to be doing to protect ourselves and so forth. Now, what if there is an attack physically against you, whether by some personality on the inside, or you're going down the street and a car pulls up or whatever, and attacks can occur? And you're going to have, this is what was occurring in the book of Acts, when Christians were attacked by those who were opposed to them. Excuse me, I think our machine here is not working right. It looks like it's working right. Sorry, it looked like we were cut off there. Something happened with the voice level for a second. The attacks can occur spiritually. We've touched on that also, where the coven could be sending things and doing things and even astral projecting and sending warfare against you and so forth. And with the authority and so forth that you have in Christ, if you respond and, you know, pray against, you know, what's going on, the issue then is that you can see their works decimated, and hopefully the intensity of prayer mapping that you're using. And I really suggest that you use a larger, broader sense of prayer mapping, where you are targeting the coven, targeting the handlers, targeting anything and everything that's going on. And really writing things down and just having teams to help pray over the whole of the situation, so that God may, like Pharaoh, even when Pharaoh, listen, if Pharaoh would have stayed in his castle, he may have lived. But instead, he decided, because of his intensity and hardness and so forth, he decided to attack the believers, and he lost his life, and his entire, you know, army lost everything. So please understand that when I talk about how I'm not really concerned about, you know, sometimes as we engage individuals, as we sometimes, I don't want to say provoke, but we're pretty, you know, strong about, you know, sharing Christ, dealing with handlers. We've had to talk to a few on the phone in kind of like private phone calls in the past. We've interacted through a cult loyal personality back and forth with handlers and high priests of covens and the brotherhood and so forth, and take threats or whatever. And the bottom line was, you know, my decision was, you know, we're going to trust the Lord in such a way that, you know, if they do come out on the field, that they're in, those folks are in danger. God does have a way of bringing them down. And so you may see the power and the glory of the Lord. And I want to be very clear with you when I say this, that we have a decision to make when there's threats and attacks and so forth concerning our own protection. In Israel, the whole story of David and Goliath shows you the difference concerning the ones that trust God and those who were not. You had seasoned warriors, Israelites, who were hiding in the rocks in the mountains and so forth area, and they would stay there as Goliath, whether he was Nephilim, obviously demonized tribe, was coming constantly to defy the God of Israel. It was obviously a spiritual, physical joint operation, in the sense that the demonic spiritual side was using the physical to battle Israel. They were there to attack Israel, to annihilate Israel. And Goliath was just out there blaspheming God, speaking boastfully, doing what he's doing, challenging Israel. And they were hiding in the rocks. Nobody would go down and fight Goliath. And again, fear can be a snare. Fear can keep you from doing a lot of things. And we have the issue then of David coming, and in the name of the Lord and out of a passion for God to go down and deal with that. Notice how those who stayed in the rocks and hid themselves and protected themselves from Goliath, God's power was not demonstrated, God was not honored, nothing happened, and evil was not vanquished. Just observing evil or even screaming at it from a protected castle doesn't do anything. It takes someone who believes God to step out there and trust the power of God in prayer and so forth and go out there, engage, to see the power of God operate on the field of battle, not hidden in the protection of the rocks. David got to see the hand of God operate, and David was given a great victory in that process. So when it comes to all of this, you're going to have to decide again concerning real faith, genuine faith, and trusting the Lord and stepping out and defying the threats and the attacks and all the other costly things. I know one law enforcement agent who did write a book on Satan and crime issues. I was burdened for days on end, and I finally drove, you know, hours to another city to meet up with him and tell him that I was really burdened. He gave up. He gave up the whole cult crime stuff. He gave up everything because it cost him so much, he said. But this is a person I also tried to share with and tell them, you need to employ a spiritual warfare, prayer mapping, and engage yourself. Because he would just say, well, I've got my gun. I got my gun. I got Jesus and I got my gun. Well, that, you know, that's fine, but that's not what, that does not bring about, again, the powers of God. No, it comes in prayer and the supernatural involvement of God, and as your prayers in shutting down the powers of the coven and the working of the demons and attacking the demonic realm and coming against the coven and praying that others in the coven would be brought out supernaturally and look for healing, that God would expose individuals, that God would, literally, God knows how to run circles around the dragon. He knows how to run circles, and he knows how to out them. He knows how to show you. He knows how to do whatever. He knows how to send his angels to help. So it's very important that you decide early on how you're going to respond and to work that in your own faith. Look at page 55 under persecution and suffering for Christ. Bottom line, you and I, like, you know, we're Christians. I remember a highly trained, chosen one that came out of the Brotherhood out of Pennsylvania after dealing with the person for about a year, and they were still in the dark side of the Brotherhood more than they were really coming out. And we weren't even sure at that time whether they were just there for reconnaissance or what. But I remember one time as they were making little suggestions how we would be very, very good Brotherhood people. Really, they were telling us, a number of us guys, that you would make good servants for the Brotherhood because of your tenacity and your faithfulness, and you won't back off and so forth that we had in the Lord. They were saying you'd make good Satanists. Of course, there was basically an invitation given to come and whatever. Of course, we also thought that and discerned that would ultimately be a setup. Also, they would love to be able to take apart a believer and harm them, and that would be a tremendous demonic power would show up for them. Bottom line, like Christ, the Apostle Paul, and remember James was persecuted and killed, and Stephen was killed, and Christians have been martyred. And so you might want to read Fox's Book of Martyrs or the sequel that's called By Their Blood. And you might have to really understand the issue of persecution and attack and what you're willing to put up with and how coming through attacks and praising God and standing. Listen, the Word of God tells us in the book of Peter that if we respond like Christ, the Spirit of God and of glory will rest on us. we don't have to, you know, if cult loyal personalities come out and cuss you out and attack you, do whatever else, you don't need to get into the flesh and say things and argue back with them. You stay in the Spirit. The Spirit of God and of glory can rest on you and be a demonstration of the power of God to everything that they bring against you. And that can be part of what breaks their commitment to being loyal to the coven, loyal to the dark side, loyal to Satan. And I've seen a number of highly trained, loyal Luciferian personalities that would break ranks and want to come to Christ. They showed themselves to be so hard in the beginning and so threatening and so antagonistic and challenging and so forth and so forth and so forth. And some of them may want you to do it on their terms. You'll have to stand in the Lord and do it according to what the way the Lord, you know, wants you to do things. And you'll have to not play the game of being, you know, our goal is not to be a martyr right away. You know, if you go out there and just throw yourself to the coven's mercy, okay, kill me, and they kill you, then what good is that as far as ministry down the road? On the other side, you don't want to be some big Christian baby, some scaredy cat that runs from every little thing. You don't want to demonstrate yourself to be some real weakling like that. The righteous are as bold as a lion, and the wicked flee. And so I encourage you in Joshua 1:9, God has commanded us not to be terrified, you know, not to be filled with fear, but to be strong and courageous, for the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. We're going to have to go out on the field in the name of the Lord our God. We're going to have to attack the demonic realm. We're going to have to come and help victims. We're going to have to reach people for Christ. I mean, missionaries, you know, things happen. Sacrifices occur. Suffering occurs at times. I absolutely believe that we have suffered losses financially, that we have suffered losses materially, we have suffered losses in relationship, we have suffered losses within the church ministries and staff because of satanic battle and fight at times when people caved in and things did occur. Don't forget, B, it's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual battle. We're told in Ephesians, you know, 6 again, that your battle is not against the flesh and the blood ultimately, against the powers. And that's where your focus in asking God to deliver you from all the attacks, and then by the authority of Christ attacking back and dealing with what's going on. Covenant handlers you're going to deal with, and preach to them, and witness to them, and be like Stephen, you know, to witness to them boldly. I don't know if you've ever, you know, have ever been punched or hit or whatever else, but to boldly respond in Jesus brings out the spirit of power and wisdom. Remember they said about Stephen, they could not stand up against the wisdom and spirit by which he spoke. The Spirit of God, his face shone like an angel. Literally, there was a visible manifestation of the presence and power of God in the midst of the attack physically on him. So study out the book of Acts and you'll see where they were thrown into prison, where Paul was taken and beat up outside of Lystra. Eventually, he got back up, brushed himself off, and went right back to the ministry, right back into doing the stuff. So listen, get back up, get before the Lord, preach the word of God to yourself. Talk about how you're going to stand for the Lord. You know, the old song says, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Onward, Christian soldiers. Tremendous hymn to sing. You know, build yourself up in worship, in songs. Build yourself up in the Word of God. Decide. That verse in Revelation 12:11, what does it tell us? They overcame him, the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. You will have to decide how far you go. You'll have to decide, you know, what level of witness. I think you should be courageous. I think you should be bold. I think you should be brave. I think you should demonstrate the incredible love of Christ, the presence of God. Fear, Satan loves to, you know, demons love to feed off fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. So stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be bold in all your work. Stand in the wisdom of God. Stand in the discernment the Spirit of God gives you and continue to proceed. Paul talks about it in Timothy. He fought the good fight. You've got to be a battler. You've got to be a scrapper. You've got to be in the ring. and spiritually to see the victories come again and again and again and again and again, and that you're still left to the next day and the next day and the next day to help the other victims down the road. Be a great warrior. Be an experienced warrior for Christ. Be a genuine, authentic, a warrior with integrity, and know when you need to get back and pray it up and strengthen yourself in the Lord. Listen, I encourage you to give your life to Jesus. He has your life, your days, your whole walk in His hands. The Lord bless you and keep you and strengthen you and give you great wisdom in this session. And this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net from the Freedom Encounter Course. God bless you.